Today, we're going to talk about 21 urban survival tips for city preppers, but many of these tips apply to prepping regardless of where we are. Play it, Krista, and let's get started.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Practical Prepping. Today is Monday, April 15th, 2024. Hey, don't forget, this is tax day in the United States of America, so get those taxes filed or file for an extension. This is episode 462 of the Prepping Podcast with no bunkers, no zombies, and no alien invasions. Just practical prepping because we believe stuff happens and we need to stay prepared. That's why we're here, to help you get prepared. Again, hi everybody, I'm Krista.
And I'm Mark. And if you'd like the expanded notes for this episode, go to practicalprepping.info/462. Now let's talk about these 21 urban survival tips for city preppers.
You know, we have a lot of folks that are in our private group and our Facebook page and get our newsletter, and they've explained to us that they live in an urban setting. They live in an apartment high rise or maybe a loft, or perhaps do a lot of work, you know, in a downtown area and feel like they live there. And they're just as concerned about prepping gear and resources, food, water, and skills as anyone else. And yet they have a unique living situation. And we want to address that because there are literally millions of people around the world for which this is a reality.
Absolutely. And you mentioned working there. A lot of people drive into the city. Well, what about while you're there? What would happen if something happened and you could not leave the city? So here are some good options. Now, the first one, we've talked about this time and time again, and I'm being a little bit hypocritical here, and it's stay physically fit. I'm not quite in the physical fitness realm that I need to be, but isn't that most of us?
Well, it might be most of us, but I think you're kind of preaching to the choir here, me too, and you know, we recognize how important this is, and especially so in a setting where good physical fitness is, you know, that's good whether you're prepping or not, of course.
Yes, and you need to maintain that good physical fitness to be able to navigate that urban terrain on foot.
Yeah, a lot of things would have to be on foot.
Or to be able to leave that building from the 31st floor on the stairs.
And you need to be flexible enough with that physical fitness to handle emergency situations physically and to endure those physically demanding scenarios. I think about people that had to vacate a building that may have endured a fire or perhaps bomb threat or something, or even the sprinkler system going out of control. You know, something that would cause them to have to get up out of that cubicle and go quickly. And perhaps the power got cut. You know, who knows what's going on, but you've just got to be able to think quickly, be clear, try not to be fearful, but be alert, and physically endure those demanding scenarios, whatever they might be.
If you're living in the city, one of the things that we need to do is learn basic self-defense. We need to learn to protect ourselves in urban settings. And we need to learn how to use improvised weapons if necessary.
I know some folks that have golf clubs.
Oh, yeah.
They will look at their golf clubs as a type of a weapon. I think that's a great idea.
You know, Bob Hope walked on a golf club. That he didn't want anybody to know he was walking on a cane, so he had a cane made as a golf club.
Well, that's clever.
Now, I carry, and you know this, and some of the listeners may, is that I carry a walking stick. It's more like a hiking stick. It's not a cane, but from time to time, it does serve to better balance me on unlevel ground. But someone asked me one day, who knows, that I do not need to walk on a cane. He said, is it offensive or is it defensive? And I said, yes. I mean, it's very inconspicuous. Now, it was funny. We went to the Space Center. We met our grandson and daughter in Huntsville, Alabama at the Space and Rocket Center going on his field trip. And I carried my stick that day. And I had not even thought of this, but a lady came up to us and said, do y'all need the elevator? And I don't need this to walk. It just helps with balance. So we went on up the steps. Mistake. That was a lot of steps.
Yeah. Lesson learned.
But point being, that could be an improvised weapon if necessary.
Well, let me just jump here quickly. One of your first points here on self-defense was learn to protect yourself. And so what I want to put out there is for men and women, both need to know how to protect yourself in an urban setting. And there are more than plenty of self-defense classes, some of which are given at a very low cost, sometimes at zero cost. You just have to determine where the class is, because I took a class in college in self-defense, and I'll tell you, it was a very informative, it kind of was a fun class, but we also learned how to do some things that if you have just your two hands, or maybe a golf club, but basically if it's just your two hands, and it doesn't matter if you're male or female, both genders need to be able to know how to protect themselves from an assailant. And so we encourage you to take some self-defense courses, because that will not only give you skills, that will lend itself back to that physical fitness, because you have to exercise and you have to be quick. You have to be muscular in the sense of muscles have to work. No, you don't have to be an Olympic athlete to be able to be in good shape for self-defense, but learn some techniques and skills. It's not something YouTube's going to teach you. You really need to get involved where you have other persons that you can spar with and practice with as well.
You can have that force on force, and you can practice, and you can be corrected if need be, so that the instructor can show you a better way to do what you're trying to do. But that's a place that they will teach you how to break certain holds.
Absolutely.
Like how to break a chokehold, things like that. Right. So that self-defense class is a very, very good class to be involved in. Now, let's talk about learning some basic medical skills.
Well, you might want to take a first aid course, and those are offered as well.
And you need first aid that you would be able to treat common injuries or even illnesses. And you need that stocked first aid kit readily available. We did an episode, I don't remember the number right now, but I will put it in the show notes. And it was all on building a first aid kit. We say that building them is cheaper than buying them.
It is. It's more efficient, because you can buy a 100-piece first aid kit, but 95 of those pieces are finger-sized Band-Aids, and the other 5 might be, pieces of gauze. So you need to select your own necessaries.
Yeah, and you can customize it, too.
Sure.
You can put it more toward what you are better familiar with than just general. And you can select the items you want in it. So I'll put that in the show notes. You can go back and listen to that one. Now, this is where prepping begins for all of us, really. And that is to make a risk assessment. We talk about we don't know where to go unless we know where we are. I'm talking about navigation and things like that. Talking about in life, how are you going to reach a goal if you don't know where you're starting? Well, this risk assessment is you start with this risk assessment and you prepare for the most likely event that you would face. For example, here in the Southeast, it's weather. That is our number one threat. Down on the coast, it's hurricanes. So we don't prep for hurricane here in North Alabama. We don't need to, but we do prep for tornadoes. There's so many things that you can prep for, but you have to do that assessment. What am I most likely to encounter? Now, when we're preparing for weather, we do things like the weather radio. We have several ways to receive warnings. We have a designated safe place for us and the cats. We have tarps and tools to make emergency repairs. If it's an economic SHTF, stuff hits the fan. We're getting our finances in as good a shape as we can. And we're doing that for the potential of an economic downturn in the next couple of years. A lot of economists are pointing that direction. A lot of signs are pointing that direction. And if you haven't heard the interview that we did with Ralph Estep, I want to suggest that you go to the AskRalphPodcast.com. Now, he has 400 or so episodes there. He is an accountant. He is a financial consultant. He is a prepper, and he can help you through those episodes to heal your finance and get yourself back on good footing and to move forward in our prepping. But what are your most likely events? It might be a tornado. It might be an earthquake. It might be a wildfire, a job loss. We've experienced that. It might be an economic downturn. We've all experienced that in the last few years. But identify that thing that is most likely to happen to you and prepare for that.
Well, hopefully, too, urban dwellers will have lived in their setting long enough to be able to immediately know where they need to turn their attentions when it comes to risk assessment. And I think mainly because of the concentration of population, mm-hmm. you've got a large cross-section of human beings that will occupy that urban space. So you need to begin to consider, you know, the good guys and the bad guys. There's good guys, and I think there's more good than bad, but you have to prepare in an emergency or a catastrophe situation. Human nature can kind of flip on you a little bit. So you've just got to be very careful and very knowledgeable about your risk assessment in the urban setting. And for that reason, the next tip is to stay informed. You're going to need to pay attention to your local news, your weather updates, any of the emergency alerts. Fortunately, now people with cell phones get all sorts of alerts on their phone before they even appear on TV. So make sure that you have emergency alerts where they can get to your phone and that you can see them. And that way you'll be better informed to know, should I stay right where I am? Do I need to get out? You know, you're going to know that that catastrophe is going to determine, you know, bugging in or bugging out.
Exactly. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But I'm sitting here thinking about with this staying informed and putting this in context of the risk assessment. If you live on the ground level floor in an area that could be prone to riots, that's something you really need to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. We're not really concerned about a riot here in front of our house.
Well, because we're not urban dwellers.
We're not urban dwellers. We're suburban dwellers, which means what? We live under the urban dwellers?
Funny. Semantics.
All right. Leading on from this is secure your home. We've talked about this in the past, but you need to reinforce those doors and those windows. You need to establish some security cameras or alarms or both. And here's one that we don't often think about. Now, those of us that actually live in the suburbs, we do think about this, but it could be just as important in the urban neighborhoods, and that's establish a neighborhood watch system just to deter potential threats.
Well, you also want to look out for your other maybe vulnerable neighbors. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks in the urban dwelling, they have neighbors that might be little elderly men or women, and they need some eyes and ears looking out for them too, because they may not be able to respond as quickly. They might not be as informed as you are. So, you know, keep an eye out for your neighbor. I think there are times when we are our brother's keeper and we need to look out for some folks.
All right, let's get to some of the fun stuff. Stockpiling essential supplies.
You'd think that was fun, wouldn't you?
Well, it's more fun than sitting down and writing down our threat assessment.
Well, I think what you like is that it's a call to action. And so this is something we can do. And of course, if you have listened to me long enough, you're going to know that just guess what my number one item is to have in your preps. Just guess.
Water.
Because, hey, that's going to be the single most important thing you can prep or supply yourself in terms of being able to purify wherever you're sourcing your water. You may have to go outside the building and pour it out of the garden hose tap or whatever, and that may be a case where you probably still feel more comfortable boiling it, purifying it before consuming it.
Now, water could get cut off to the building.
I hadn't thought about that, but in an urban setting, it very well
and
could.
And I'm speaking to folks that live in apartments and condominiums,
sure.
and they have to take an elevator every day. Mm-hmm. And some of you are in very high-rise mm-hmm. buildings. And any number of things could cause that water to get cut off. An earthquake. With an earthquake, we often have broken water lines. But something else to realize in a large city, if you have a large fire, you're going to have a large turnout of fire engines and pumpers and aerial devices, and they're going to use a huge amount of water, and that's going to reduce the water pressure in your building. And so your water pressure may not get up enough to you to have more than a trickle.
Interesting.
So this is where having that week's worth of water is, it's critical there, because you may not have water for a couple of days. If it's a broken main, it may be even longer than that.
Even a flood is going to turn the utilities off. A lot of people think water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. Well, a flood is a perfect example of that, mm-hmm. too. And so just being surrounded by water, first of all, you may be in a building that becomes unsafe and you're going to be mandated to leave. So have a plan.
Exactly.
Where are you going?
And we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Exactly.
But we want to stockpile some non-perishable food.
Okay.
Even some toilet paper. Remember COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Hygiene supplies, cleaning supplies, the things that you normally need across a week, store some of those. And it's really up to you how much food you store. But, you know, the government used to say and does say a lot of times 3 days worth of storage of food. I'm moving to 7 days because I've seen too many disasters that it took longer than 3 days for help to get in there.
And folks, that's just a minimum.
Yeah.
That don't stop at 7 days. If you can push on, we're really hoping that even as newbie or beginner preppers, we're hoping that you get to that 3 to 6 month mark, because that really puts you in a better comfort level.
It does.
And we realize that urban dwellers don't necessarily have storehouses and storage units that they can put 6 to 12 months worth of food in. Do what you can. You can find some little hideaway spots under beds, in cabinets, in unused shelves of closets, and so on, to put these non-perishable foods, to put these stocks of toilet tissue and paper towels and the hygiene and the cleaning supplies and all the types of things that you and your family are going to need. So you can get creative with some of your storage and use every available inch, because it's for your own benefit.
Yeah, I've got room in my sock drawer for a few cans of corned beef hash.
Well, okay, you are set. Corned beef hash, well.
Well, I love it. And yeah, it's a great go-to for me.
He does.
And I had beanie weenies for supper tonight.
Yes, he did, by request.
And that's a good thing to keep. You can pop those open. You can pop them in a backpack. You can
don't have to heat it.
You don't have to heat it. Mm-hmm. In fact, tonight's one of the first times I've eaten them heated.
Oh, gosh.
Usually, and I have used the lid that was curved when I pulled it off as a spoon.
No way.
Well, I didn't have a spoon.
Roughing it.
That's roughing it.
Holy moly. Well, speaking of food, something else you can do as an urban dweller. This is fun to do, but it is certainly a great prepping activity, and that is to grow some container gardens. You'd be amazed what a few pots can grow on your balcony up there, your back porch, your patio, the backyard, if you have an apartment that has some yard space available to you.
Or you live in a house and you have some backyard,
right,
a little bit. I
and
mean,
we say,
it doesn't take much.
We say container garden because it's something you can carry with you if you move out. It's not something where you have cut into the landlord's yard or anything like that. But container gardening, you can do tomatoes, you can do lemons, you can do all kinds of peppers, herbs. There's so many things that you can grow that you can rely on for a food source.
And you know where it's coming from and you know it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, along this line, you might want to learn some urban foraging.
Now, that's an interesting thing. We think of foraging as wandering through the forest and eating the green plants from the wild. Well, what is urban foraging?
There are a lot of plants that are edible that we don't think about. Some of those are used as flowers. Some of them are weeds. You know, a dandelion, you can eat every part of the dandelion.
You can, from the root up.
Yeah, until it does the puff ball. Mm-hmm. Those are tough in your mouth. But until it gets to that point, you can eat every part of that. You can use it in salads. You can boil it up into tea. There's all kinds of things that you can do with that. So just familiarize yourself with the edible plants that are in urban environments.
And to the very best of your ability, try to make sure that they are not treated with any kind of herbicide.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen sometimes in urban developments and urban environments, but perhaps in some it doesn't. So you're going to need to be very knowledgeable about where any herbicides may have been applied.
And then wash them very well.
Of course.
Wash them very, very well. Next thing is to know your surroundings. You know, a lot of times people move in, and I understand, we went through it as well when we first came here. We didn't know where anything was located, really. But get out and figure out. Familiarize yourself with your city's layout. Figure out what the landmarks are. Figure out what your evacuation routes will be and what method you will use to evacuate. A lot of people in urban environments do not own automobiles.
No, they do a lot of walking.
They do a lot of walking.
Or take a bus or a subway.
Exactly, but we're considering that the bus and the subway may not be available or may not be safe. Mm-hmm. If you like some type of exercise that's not just going to the gym, get a bicycle. You can pack a lot of stuff on that bicycle to get out of the town if you need to, out of the city if you need to. But know where the potential danger zones are around town. There's always those areas that we don't go there. Know where those areas are. Concentrations of gang members, drugs, people all the time getting shot or assaulted in that area. Know where those areas are and avoid them if you have to be leaving the city.
You also want to practice your situational awareness while you're doing all that walking around and observing. Do stay very vigilant and observant of your surroundings. Okay, I'm going to say it again. This is in capital letters. Put your phone away.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get an amen on amen. The people walking around with their nose in their phone? I actually saw a man, a full-grown man in his 30s, he slammed headfirst into a column of a building because he never saw it because he was on his phone, just staring at his phone. Mm-hmm. And he just about bloodied his whole face from that. And that's just someone just not paying attention. And that is someone who is not situationally aware. Let me tell you something. There's bad guys out there, and they're looking for you. They're looking for the person whose nose is in the phone because they can be on you and knock you to the ground, and you don't even realize it because you're not aware that they're even that close. So please, capital letters, people, please, I am begging you, when you are walking around, to be observant, then do that. Observe. Look at people. Look at them in the eyes just for a moment. When you're pumping gas out there, glance around all around your vehicle. Know who's near you. These are strangers, and they're probably good people, but what if they're not?
You really can't tell who the good ones and the bad ones are by appearance.
You need to identify some potential threats, too, and also look for any escape routes in urban settings. Naturally, I think a lot of folks think of the major thoroughfares and the big streets and the natural, normal ways of traffic that they might go if they were in a bus or a trolley or a subway. But you may have to think of some alleyways and some side streets, and you may have to think of going through two or three other different buildings on your way to another location, another street.
Oh, I hadn't even thought. You're talking about walking through other buildings to get to where you need to be.
I actually did a shortcut one time in a big city in North Carolina, and I needed to get to a store. And the quickest way to do that would be to go down a sidewalk. I walked completely through a downtown bank, one of those big headquarter banks, and I walked out to that sidewalk and immediately back through a little area of grouping of shops. And so I actually walked through some buildings to get from sidewalk to sidewalk rather than make the whole big block around. But I was in safe buildings surrounded by people doing regular business, and I felt very comfortable doing that. And so if you live in an urban setting, you may need to figure out your plan may look a little different than just going sidewalk to sidewalk or block to block. Think of the buildings that you may have access to that are publicly open, a bank, a shop, or a, you know, or a repair shop, what have you. If they're connected to other stores or you can get there from here or here from there, then this may be part of your emergency evacuation plan.
I'm thinking through the lobbies of buildings.
Yeah, absolutely. You can, medical centers.
You go in
like
one
that.
Side, you go out the other side, and you've saved yourself a half a block, you know, something like
you
that.
You can do that just by walking through some big hospitals. Mm-hmm. They're that big that you can just walk right through and out
right.
you go.
During an emergency, we need to maintain a low profile. Mm-hmm. Avoid attracting attention during emergencies. You need to minimize noise and you need to minimize light.
You're talking about like when you're within your apartment?
Within your apartment, control the noise and practice light control as well.
Okay. Could make it look like perhaps that you're not there.
Nobody's home. Especially if the area is without electricity.
Uh-huh.
And you happen to have backup electricity, cover those windows. Make it look like you're not home either.
Yeah, because if you've got power somehow, somebody may want to get your power source.
Yes.
So
yes.
You want to blend in. You want to be the gray man. You know, we did an episode about the gray man. So like we're talking about when you're outside and among populations and people, you know, this is not the time to be very conspicuous or look like you've got 800 pounds of gear on your rucksack going through town. Just walk around as usual. Wear regular, non-attracting clothes. Don't be wearing big political t-shirts. And don't be like wanting to start a fight with your t-shirt. Just wear plain clothes.
Avoid drawing attention to yourself.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing. And what you're saying is dress inconspicuously.
Sure.
You want to blend into those surroundings during a crisis. You don't want to be bugging out in your Armani suit.
Yeah.
You want to be looking like the rest of the folks on the street, so that you blend into your surroundings, look like everyone else, and act like anyone else.
You know, if groups of people begin to assemble, you know, on street corners and they, hey, what's going on? We don't know what's going on. Maybe you just need to be hanging on the edge and just.
Yeah.
Not be the person that feels like you got to jump in and start leading things.
No, I'm trying to figure this out too.
Yeah.
And one thought that I had was if your community, neighborhood, if your city is in a food shortage and water shortage, and you already do have things prepped, it's okay to go out and act like everybody else. Go stand in the food line. Go stand in the water line.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've got food back there that gets you through, but look like everybody else.
Yes.
When everybody else is looking rather haggard, you need to.
Mm-hmm,
if
sure.
they're dirty, it's not a bad idea for you to be dirty.
Right.
But look
right.
like everyone else.
And also prepare for those power outages. And this is just good practical prepping right here, but have some alternative power sources that you are able to conceal in an urban setting if possible. A portable generator. Just be careful a little bit about the sound that they may give off. You know, you don't want to run these indoors, but if you can get away with a small portable generator, if you're able to mask the sound somehow.
And they have some very small, very quiet generators today.
You think it would be safe to put like a tote or something over a generator?
It could, with
a tiny little hole just for air exchange?
You might need a little bit more than a tiny little hole, because you're going to need fresh air for that thing if it's a combustion engine.
I see.
But there are some solar generators that you could charge on your patio and be able to have that power inside when the power's out.
Okay. All right.
And those are totally quiet. Now, they're not cheap.
And they're not inconspicuous because they're outside on your balcony, right?
Yeah, but if you're on the 20th floor, there's not a lot of people peeking into it. Now, other thing you can do is a lot of folks have a sliding glass door going out onto that patio. You just open your curtains and put it right down there at the bottom and let the sun shine on it.
Oh, clever. Okay, that's
so
cool.
So you can disguise it, but you can have power for your things. You can use solar chargers. You need to make a lights out kit anyway.
Sure.
And that's flashlights, LED lanterns, and extra batteries for every device you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking earlier about cell phone chargers. I used to have a device, and it was a cell phone charger that I don't remember if it was 6 or 8 batteries, pen light batteries that went into it. And you could just pull it out, and it would charge your cell phone several times with nothing but pen light batteries. So that's not a bad option to look for either. Now, what we were talking about here about being that gray man is we want to create a bug out plan. We want to develop a comprehensive evacuation plan, including multiple routes and meeting points if you're going to be meeting up with family somewhere if everybody's having to evacuate.
So you're saying this is really a kind of a last resort?
Well, bugging out would be.
Well, it may depend on the emergency.
It definitely,
if it's an earthquake, it may be a first resort.
It definitely is, but determine when you will be able to stay and when you must leave.
Well,
and that's what you're really saying.
That's what I'm saying.
And you need to decide this ahead of time. Don't wait until the emergency. If it's a job loss or supply chain issues, stay. If it's massive riots in the city, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Your situation, your line is probably somewhere in between.
You know, and everyone's situation is going to be different. You're going to need to customize this for what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going with the customary scenarios and the customary responses. You're going to have to fine-tune it depending on who you're responsible for or if it's just you, what your sense of safety or danger, you know, maybe your level of what you can endure. So.
But remember, not all stuff hits the fan situations are Mad Max scenarios.
That's true. Let's not go Hollywood here.
No.
Let's try to stay real and stay. It's okay to be alarmed and even highly concerned. But once you hit fearful, you become less effective.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to need to also psychologically learn how to just harness your fear and use that energy to stay alert and make good decisions. And you'll find that fear will abate.
And prepare for the things that are most likely to happen to you. We're going to get to some more fun stuff here.
Oh, boy.
We're going to pack an urban-focused bug-out bag or get-home bag.
Okay.
And this get-home bag is even something you could carry on the train or on the subway or on the bus. It's in an inconspicuous backpack. It just looks like your computer bag or, you know, a man purse or whatever.
I see.
But we want a city map in there. We want a compass in there. We want some cash in small denominations in there. Put some lightweight food options in there. This is where you might put in something to last a couple of days or even 3 days.
Packs of crackers, beef jerky.
Put a personal water filter in there.
Absolutely. A Sawyer Mini or a Life Straw.
Yeah. And you want some sturdy footwear. Especially you ladies that wear those good-looking high heels and those open-toed flat sandals.
Yeah, that's not your bug-out shoes.
That's not your bug-out shoes.
Nope.
It's not your get-home shoes. Mm-hmm. That's time to sit down and put that old pair of tennis shoes on that you had in that bag because you didn't need them anymore because you got some new ones.
And if you want to, just stuff the clean socks down in those shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That way you'll have socks as well.
Exactly.
Your feet will thank you later.
But be prepared for if you have to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want a multi-tool. There's just so many things that you can do when you're on the road with a multi-tool. Now, I'd say pack some rain gear and an emergency blanket.
Some of those really lightweight ones that fold
yes,
up well.
Yes, and you could make a shelter out of that if you had to.
Sure.
But rain gear, you may be walking in the rain, and it's miserable to walk when it's especially chilly and you're wet.
And then some of those ponchos are pretty lightweight and will fold up tightly.
Yeah, but remember, if you paid 88 cents for it, it's a bread wrapper. It's not a poncho.
Gotcha.
They charge you $9 for them at the big amusement parks.
Right.
You also want a first aid kit. Boo-boos happen.
Yeah, blisters on heels. I'm bad to get blisters on heels.
And if you're allowed, carry your weapon.
And train with it and know how to use it.
And I like to have it on body rather than in the bag.
Exactly.
But that is something that you should consider if you're able to do that, and that's in your area of interest.
You're going to want to secure some reliable communication, which we say means to have multiple devices of communication, which would be a charged cell phone or perhaps a two-way radio, even a whistle to signal for help if needed. Perhaps you're in an urban setting and there's been a structural collapse and you're lightly, if injured at all, you maybe cannot call out, but perhaps if you had a whistle hanging around your neck, a whistle is one of those sounds that can really get through.
You really can. Let's talk about establishing community connections here. We want to build some relationships with our neighbors. We may need them, they may need us, and we can help each other in times of need. Now, this is where that two-way radio could really come in handy. You have a communications buddy to check on each other.
Okay.
And after any time, any type of situation, if we can't reach them by cell phone, we can reach them on that radio. Now, there are limitations to radios, and you need to dig into that before you go buying a radio. And I'll tell you this, if it comes from the big box store and it says 36 miles, it's not. I mean, out in the open, it's about a mile.
Yeah, real talk.
But you can communicate across a few apartments there. Or we had one time, a set of them that we were using, and we had somebody on the 31st floor, and we were actually able to talk to ground level to the 31st floor. Mm-hmm. But we were outside. We were not going straight up through the building 31 floors. But we were able to be outside and talk to the person on the 31st floor. So,
and remember, too, that if cell phone may be disrupted, although you might could still get a text message out if it's an emergency, try texting rather than voice calling, because texting takes less bandwidth. And you're likely to get that text message to actually get to the party you're trying to reach quicker than if you're trying to voice call each other.
All right, we've done some of the fun stuff. Let's talk about some yucky stuff.
Well, this is natural. Everybody poops. There's a book called Everybody Poops. So you need to have a plan for sanitation, particularly if you're going to bug in.
Yes.
And you're going to stay in your apartment. And perhaps, let's say you're not going to walk out of your front door for 2 weeks. Well, I got news for you. You can't hold it for 2 weeks. And whoever's in that apartment with you can't hold it for 2 weeks. So you need to develop a plan for waste disposal and your personal hygiene. Now, realizing that if utilities are cut off, you're not going to have the ability to flush toilets unless you can provide your own water.
Right.
And you don't want to use your drinking water for that. That's what lake water and river water is for. But you might want to consider having a bedside commode. I'll tell you that we actually have one that folds up and travels if we need it. There is a, it's perfectly usable, and they even have their own liners that fit the bucket part that you can get. You might even want to just really make one from scratch with a 5-gallon bucket and a pool noodle. You cut a slit along the length of the pool noodle so it will fit onto the bucket, kind of round. So put the liner or like a garbage bag in the bucket and then fold the top of it over the edges of the bucket. Then slide that slit pool noodle around the edge of the top of the bucket, and now you have a makeshift potty chair.
And it's a little bit more comfortable sitting on the pool noodle, but the big box store, like Outdoor Man, sells a snap-on toilet lid
they
to
do.
Go on a 5-gallon yeah. bucket. So if you really, if this is something that you really expect is going to be a problem for you at some point down the road, buy one of those snap-on toilet lids mm-hmm. that goes on a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
Put
yeah.
the liner in it, then snap the toilet seat down. When you're through, unsnap that. You can throw some kitty litter in there for now.
Or you can just tie off that bag
exactly.
and replace it with a clean one. But you're going to have to deal with human waste, yours and or somebody else's. And it's just the reality. And you're probably going to need to lower your standards on air quality at this point.
You know, I get what you're saying.
In the scope of all things you have to face, that's really not as horrendous as other things you may have to
yeah,
face.
Yeah, and you're talking about when the bathroom fan doesn't work, the exhaust
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, yeah.
This
like
is
that.
Where we need to stay flexible.
Stay flexible.
We need to be prepared to adapt our plans to whatever the evolving situation is and the changing circumstance, especially in these urban environments. You're going to see more change in that area than you will somewhere out in the country.
And there's no shame in adjusting your plan.
Mm-mm.
There's no shame in bowing to the wisdom of someone else who has a better idea. Listen, in a case like that, we're all just trying to survive and do our best. And you may not have all the answers. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But be flexible. Realize that it is a fluid situation and it is changeable. And you've got to adapt to that, or else you're going to be left behind and you're going to be struggling and suffering way more than you need to.
Which brings us to another thing, and that is to stay mentally resilient. We need to develop those coping strategies to manage our stress. This type of situation will definitely be stressful.
Certainly.
Anxiety or uncertainty even can cause a lot of anxiety, especially during these urban survival scenarios.
You're also going to be needing to practice your fire safety. So be aware of the fire hazards in urban environments, especially where you live or where you're working. Make sure that you have operable fire extinguishers that are up to code and have been inspected. It does you no good to pull a fire extinguisher and blow all the cobwebs off and hasn't been looked at since 1982, because the likelihood is it's not going to work. So make sure that you are up to code and up to speed on all fire extinguishers, smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, and have a fire escape plan in place. And I'm going to do you one better. Practice it.
Right.
Practice your fire escape plan. If your escape plan is to haul yourself out of a particular window, then I suggest you practice doing that very thing.
Yeah, and that needs to be the first or second floor, not the 32nd
floor. No. Yeah, this is no...
If you live in a high rise, there's only one way out of that building, and that's down.
Yeah.
Now, you can get to it from different areas to the stairwells.
Sure.
But you're going to have to go down those stairs, so you need to be physically able to do that.
Now, today's cup of coffee comes from our friend Renee. Renee is a regular contributor to our podcast and also our coffee fund. And I'm telling you, Renee, we really appreciate you. We appreciate your loyalty. And thank you so much for that continuing pot of coffee that you provide for us, because that is getting us through.
We really do appreciate that. Now, if you receive value from the podcast, would you help us by giving back a little? First, you can buy us a cup of coffee or a pot of coffee like Renee.
Cup of Joe.
Cup of Joe, and it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Second, and this helps tremendously, if you will start your Amazon shopping from our website. Right there on the front page of the website, it says Amazon. You click on that, and then you just go sign into your regular account. Your cart will be there. Everything will be exactly the same. And it costs you nothing extra, but it does pay us a small commission on qualifying purchases so we can buy more coffee.
Well, we also try to give you some featured items and some gear and some special things to know that are coming up that Amazon likes to feature as well. And so we're Amazon customers and we love Amazon, and we want to share that love with you. And so you're shopping through our banner on our website. It helps you and it helps us. And we want you to know how much we really appreciate it when you buy us a cup of coffee and also do your Amazon shopping from our website.
And you'll find both of those links there at practicalprepping.info. And as Krista always says,
stuff happens, my urban dwelling friends. Stay prepared.
And we'll see you next time.